Hey everyone. In the following podcast, you'll hear the edited audio of Sienna's live Instagram interview with Robbie Gordon, who's the co-founder of Scottish theatre company Wonderfools. Have you ever wondered what it's like to write theatre for an online audience? Well, wonder no more, because Robbie will take us through what it was like creating their new digital season. I hope you enjoy it.
So obviously I've looked around what you've been doing recently on your website, on your social media, but for someone who's never heard of Wonderfools, could you just introduce yourself and what Wonderfools plan to do with theatre?
Cool. So we are Wonderfools. We are a Scottish theatre company. We're predominantly a touring company. We work with stories that are usually go rather unheard. And particularly, we like to represent voices that are often unheard, particularly on our stages as well. So what we try to do is really represent people within our work that we don't always see on theatre stages. We have got a really strong creative learning focus, so we're all about working with like people and communities, and usually our productions are a result of working with communities and working in communities. We've been kind of around since, unofficially since 2014, but we registered as a Scottish charity in 2017, and we've been making work ever since. So it's been lovely, actually.
Wonderful. Thank you for the introduction. So can you just tell us, like, the story behind why Wonderfools was founded and what you aim to do? Like, tell us a bit more about bringing voices that are unrepresented onto theatre and things like that.
Cool, yeah. So basically, when we started, Wonderfools was born out slightly out of a frustration about not really feeling like theatre was for us. And that almost it didn't quite always cater to its audience. And I think for us, it felt like you had to be in the theatre world in order to enjoy theatre. And I'd felt kind of ostracised like that when I was younger. I felt like theatre wasn't for me. Who's theatre actually for? So what we really wanted to do was create theatre for people that don't traditionally go to the theatre. And quite often why people don't traditionally go to the theatre is because they don't feel represented in the buildings and in the work. So for us, it was all about working, particularly with communities that aren't present in a lot of theatre work, and really exploring those stories. For us, we kind of started off quite early doors, working in quite like rural and working class communities. I grew up in a town called Preston Pans, which is an incredibly silly name for a place. But it is one of those towns where the mantra is nothing ever happens here. Like, you know what I mean? But actually, loads of magical stuff happened there. Historical, political, social stuff. And it really just goes largely unnoticed and largely untalked about. One of our stories was that we decided to tell was about four people from Preston Pans that went to fight in the Spanish Civil War in 1936, which is like an incredible story. It's a really a story about like belief, standing up for what you believe in, solidarity, standing on that international community and international stage and thinking that you are equal to anyone from any country. Do you know what I mean? And actually, these people firmly believed that and went to fight in a conflict that they weren't involved in order to fight against fascism and fight for people coming together, which we thought was a beautiful story to kind of unearth within a community and then retell to that community. That felt like really important. And one of the other things, like, I really like a good night out. Do you know what I mean? I love a bit of music, a bit of movement, coming into like an interesting space and being next to loads of exciting people. And I suppose with our theatre, that's what we're trying to recreate. We want to give people a good night out rather than like a sort of like boring, am I allowed to move?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to whisper to my pal that I like this or I hate it? That felt really important to us.
Definitely. I'm interested to hear how that kind of translates to a digital program, which is what we're going to be talking about next. So stories to connect us, it very much brings through that theme of retelling stories to communities in a time of isolation. So what's it been like? You're a theatre company, you're used to going into a space, as you say, to make people feel welcome. So what's it been like transitioning to online? Obviously, it might have been a bit of a U-turn. You've programmed theatre for the next year, maybe, and now you've had to rethink it. So how did you go about creating that new digital program?
Well, for us, we were about to embark on our busiest year yet when we had we were about to head to the Edinburgh Fringe, who had been programmed at Summer Hall as part of the festival program, which we were absolutely buzzing about. It was our in Scotland, like, we don't necessarily venture to the Fringe potentially as much as our English counterparts, because one, it's like right on our doorstep, but also it's a really like expensive experience in terms of taking the theatre there. And so for us, we were really tactically like wondering when we would take our first show at the Fringe, and this year felt like the right year. So we're all gearing up towards that. We had a fully funded production that was going to the Citizens Theatre for about a month, and then we were doing a large scale community project in Dumfries and Galloway, hopefully working with over like 200 young people and elderly people, and all cancelled like that, which was like, you know, really quite shocking. You know, how do you almost like process that? But what we did was like, we just went, we want to have this big year anyway, and you know, we want to really reach audiences and continue to tell stories, continue to make work. And we decided really early on, like, do we just sit and let the pandemic like wash over us, or do we like go, right, let's do it and let's make some work. So we decided early doors, like 549 Scots of the Spanish Civil War was our most successful show. We toured Scotland last year for like 6 weeks and actually went to London at the end as well. And received like, I think it was like 95% like box office sellout, did like really well, like good critical acclaim, which we were all delighted about. But what we decided to do was like, we filmed it on the last night, just really for archival purposes, so that we could kind of look back in yesteryear and just go, oh, that was lovely when we did that show, and use it really for if we were redoing the production, we'd be able to go back and reference it. The document ended up turning out quite nice. It was actually like a really nice document of the work, totally imperfect in its nature, as is all rural touring. And the sound is a bit compromised, but we really felt like it captured the spirit of rural touring and getting out into communities. So what we decided to do was release that as the first part of our digital season. It's still on YouTube now if anyone wants to check it out. It's called 549 Scots of the Spanish Civil War. There's a captioned version and there's a non-captioned version, worth checking out if anyone's up for it. But for us, it was like an important way to engage audiences that we'd engaged previously, but also some of the family members of the people concerned in the story now live in like New Zealand and like Australia and Canada, and they were able to see the work for the first time, and that felt like really important actually. So we used that as the sort of launch of the programme. The next piece that we're doing is an audio adaptation of a play called The Coolidge Effect, which we've also kind of toured around the UK to home in Manchester, New Diorama in London, The Traverse in Edinburgh, Tron in Glasgow, amongst others. And it's a piece about the mental health implications of watching pornography when you're younger, and how that affects people later in life, their sexual experiences, how they form relationships. And it's really about how technology affects young people. So yeah, I think it felt like one of the best moments to have put this play on effectively. So we're working with the band Van Ives. They're a brilliant band. They're sort of electro acoustic outfit. Like, they make like really cool electronic music, which has this sort of like really soulful musicianship behind it, and also just Stuart has this beautiful voice as well. So it's been a real treat to work on that and kind of create a brand new version of something that has existed for about 3 or 4 years, which is only ever toured live. So we're doing a fully immersive kind of audio piece and adaptation. We're also, as part of the season, working with some young people from the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. We've created a video series called The New Normal, which tells the stories of some of the people most affected by the pandemic. It's a really exciting bits of work. There's 12 individual stories written by 12 of the most exciting, young, talented people out there in Glasgow, and I'm really excited to share that. We've released the first two and they're available on Twitter, Facebook and our YouTube channel, and they're just lovely, excellent pieces of work. And I guess the resilience of those young people who met in the space every week, how quickly they adapted to this digital world is so inspirational. So it was a delight to work with them. They did a cracking job. And the final piece is a brand new production called Secret Private World, and it's going to be a 6-part audio play about living in lockdown and what it's like to live in total isolation, and the interesting things that one sees out their window. So we've got a sort of 6-part series. It's all about a man who witnesses what he believes to be a sinister incident and how he then pieces it all together as a sort of armchair detective looking out of his window. So yeah, we're really excited about that, and we'll see how that all progresses. But that's probably the one we know least about, because it's not until October this year. So it's great to have planned a programme of work that lasts from now until October. It's really exciting.
Wow, impressive. I think it's really interesting that you've put on showing performances that have already been toured physically, and maybe seeing how the response is going to be different for a virtual audience, maybe reaching people who didn't get to see it in real life, or how audiences will return from theatres, maybe in Scotland or in England, who have seen it but might have a different response now that we are in, still a type of lockdown. So that's really interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing the new audio show as well. So moving on then, Wonderfalls also has an engagement strand. So you talked about going into different communities as a part of what you do. So how has this affected your creative process, both maybe in Stories to Connect Us and in past programmes? How has that affected your creative process in writing, in performing, and how has that basically influenced the work that you do?
Well, it totally informs it, which is brilliant. We work directly with communities in order to tell the stories. Mm-hmm. So when we were working on the Coolidge Effect, for example, we spoke to a community of pornography addicts who helped inform the show. And we also went and spoke to mental health experts, sexual therapists, all sorts. And that sort of community of people informed the making of the show, but also some of them came to see the show when it was made as well. So there's this sort of reflective space where people can almost see their own words and experiences back, and how that then informs your opinion of what you've shared. We also, when we did 549 Scots of the Spanish Civil War, we went to primary school, secondary school, told them the story, and that really informed how we then told the story in the production. And the young people in the community really helped inform the method of storytelling, and also the families of the people involved were directly involved in the process. They effectively had script approval. So when we took the show to, we first finished the first draft, we took it to a local pub, and we invited all the people down that had been involved in the process, which was probably about 30 to 40 people. But descended on the pub was about 150 people who had all kind of heard from word of mouth. And that's the power of community. The hall was packed and the feedback was just like through the laughs and through the claps and through the conversations that you had in the bar. And that felt really important. Again, like for Lampedusa, which is a play that we did about the migrant crisis written by Anders Lustgarten, we held a celebration within the Citizens Theatre for refugees, asylum seekers, and it was a really like a cultural exchange where there was like food and dancing and an open mic. So engagement takes so many different forms in the work we do, and probably the most exciting bit of engagement that we're about to embark upon is we are doing a project called Positive Stories for Negative Times, where we've commissioned five of the most exciting UK playwrights, some of the most exciting voices that we've encountered, to write five plays which totally respond to the situation that we're living in today. And they will be free to perform for young people aged 10 to 25. So any youth theatre, young company, third sector organisation that wants to use the plays will be able to use them completely rights free. They can be performed in total lockdown or through blended learning or completely live in the space. It is like totally up to anyone how they do them. So yeah, we're delighted to be doing that project. We're announcing the five playwrights like probably this time next month. I actually can't wait to tell people who they are, because they're like some of my total heroes. And some of those people are the reason why I'm actually probably writing and making plays today. So we're about to announce all that pretty soon. So yeah, we're really excited. The project has actually already started, but like kind of whispering in the background, which is nice.
Amazing. I think it's such an example of how an art organisation can bounce back, because you know the arts and culture sector is kind of seen as been shut down for a few months, but the variety of projects that you've got on just shows that it doesn't need to be shut down. Like there are many ways that we can respond and respond positively, and so I think that's a very great encouragement to many people at the moment.
Just exactly what you're saying. I think like for us, it's like young people are such an essential part of the recovery, as is the art sector. So if we want to have a really like positive recovery for this pandemic and learn real lessons about how our society should happen, we need to really listen to the young people that are the change makers. But also, art has this brilliant power to bring people together and connect people and improve mental health and wellbeing. So I guess that's what we're really focused on as a group of people.
Wonderful. And talking of young people, so you mentioned that these new five plays can be performed by youth theatres when they reopen and things like that. But if someone is a theatre lover, they want to become an actor maybe as a young person, but obviously theatres are shut at the moment, they can't get involved in that side of things. What advice would you give them if they're worried about like a lack of opportunities either now or also in the future? What advice would you give them from that side of things?
I'd say there's like, it sounds like there's been a significant investment for the UK government and also the Scottish government as well, which are kind of happening in tandem right now. So I'm hoping that money will go to young people and for training opportunities and for really kickstarting people into the sector. What I've always said to people is like, I trained in contemporary performance practice. So it was all about making theatre. But I don't consider myself a theatre maker, but like on a Monday I'm a performer, on a Tuesday I'm a facilitator, on a Wednesday I'm a writer. You know what I mean? It's like one of those, like having like loads of strings to your bow, like really, really helps. It's what I love doing, you know, like getting to go to your work and it's a different thing every day. Is like super exciting, and I suppose the more multifaceted you can be in this world, the more opportunity there will be for you. And the exciting thing is there's actually lots of free training right now and lots of free young companies and youth theatres to attend. So one thing I'd like to plug as well is like I'm running this program at the Ayr Gaiety Theatre that basically offers free training opportunities to anyone effectively. The purpose of the workshops is to improve mental health and wellbeing and connect people. But the workshops themselves are led by some of the most exciting artists in the UK. Everything from creative writing to visual art to filmmaking. This program is entirely free. And if you go on the Gaiety lockdown season, type it in on Google, you can sign up. And that is like free training for young people that want to get involved in the arts. You don't even need to be young, you can be any age. So I guess what I'm saying is like the more you look around, the more there is free training. The Traverse Theatre have also released a video series for playwriting. And it's great, it's really informative, and it puts some of the most exciting playwrights in Scotland and wider UK in your living room to do video exercises along with. So I would say like it's an exciting time to train and stop and think and reflect. And the more you do all those things, the more you'll be prepared to bounce into the world when it starts to turn.
Definitely. Thank you. I'm sure that will encourage many people. I'm interested to hear what you have been consuming over lockdown. What's inspired you, both for your work at Wonderfalls and also personally, artistically? Whether you've been like listening to podcasts or reading books or watching films, like what have you been consuming?
Yeah, that's a really good shout. To be honest, I've been like super busy like working on Positive Stories for Negative Times, the playwriting project. And working on that, the Gaiety lockdown programme. But when I have had downtime, I've actually been watching Twin Peaks. I've never seen it before. I just finished it the other night. And like, it's just mad. It's so brilliant. Such bold television for like the 90s. And I think for me, it's like one thing that when I've been watching it, I've been really thinking like, the way that Wonderfuls tend to work is we really consider our audience and the work is for the audience. But Twin Peaks almost works in an opposite way where it's actually more about the art and the feeling and the look of it and the aesthetic, and which has been just really, that's a nice bit of learning. I love going to see stuff or watching stuff that's the opposite from how I work sometimes, because it really informs, it really informs how you work. I've also been watching People Just Do Nothing. I think that's absolutely hilarious. I love that kind of like dry mockumentary style. I think there's definitely a mockumentary to be made about the theatre sector. I think there would be like some really great laughs in and amongst that. I've also been reading Sabrina Mufuz's book. It's called like Being Working Class and Smashing It. I think that's what it's called. But yeah, it's an excellent book. It's a series of essays from people from working class backgrounds, all about how their progression into the arts, and it's a really, really useful guide, but also just a really great read as well. I listened to the Blind Boy podcast as well. I've been listening to a bit of that, which has been good. Whatever comes my way, I'll give it a watch. National Theatre Scotland, they're also doing a thing called Scenes for Survival right now that a few of my pals have been involved in as well. So it's been quite... Jack Nurse, the co-founder, directed a piece with the actor Mark Bonner from Shetland. That's definitely worth a wee watch. It's online, it's free. Have a wee look.
Wonderful, thank you. I've just got one last question today, and it's how can people find all the things that you mentioned? So how can they find you, Wonderfuls, and the digital programme?
We are on www.wonderfuls.org. So really, even if you type in Wonderfuls, it's got a space in the middle between Wonder and Fools. In Google, you'll find us as well. We're on all your social medias, and we're also got a YouTube channel as well. So feel free to delve into any of that work. Also, we're always an email away as well. So if you've got any questions about the work, you can contact us at contact@wonderfuls.org as well. So if I've like been saying anything and I've not made much sense, feel free to drop an email as well. But I suppose that's one of the things we'd say as an organisation. We're like really open doors and we want to work with people. If you'd like to talk to us or work with us, just give us a shout.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for explaining more about your projects, Robbie. It's been really fascinating, and I'm looking forward to watching some of the things that you've been talking about.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a lovely day.
Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk and find it on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as VoiceMagUK. The Voice contributors are also on Instagram over at voice.extra. If you are looking for another podcast to listen to, the contributors release the Voice Extra podcast every Saturday, where they talk about the pieces they've produced and the culture they've been enjoying. If you like this podcast, please consider helping us to make more with a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night. You can find more of his work in computech.com. Tom Innes was the executive producer.